we have candidate for Congressional District 3, which I live in, Dean Phillips, who's running against, oh God, Eric Paulson. Dean, are you there?
I'm here. Good to be with you, Hunter.
Yeah, great to have you on. So why don't you first tell me, like, why did you get into this race specifically? What motivated you? What inspired you to run against Paulson?
Well, it's a responsibility, Hunter. I watched the 2016 election with great dismay, and the night of the election, I was with my family and really watched through the lens of my daughters, who at that time were 18 and 16, and saw their fear and their anxiety and their tears. And I woke up the next morning, and at the breakfast table, I promised them that I would do something. And that doing something has become this run for Congress. And you know, I immediately turned my attention to Eric Paulson after that promise to them. And a man who, his votes don't match his quotes, who talks like Jim Ramstad but votes like Michelle Bachmann. And Hunter, I've long thought that the Constitution has anticipated a president like Donald Trump, but it did not anticipate a Congress filled with so many who are bought and sold and who lack courage. And I'm afraid Congressman Paulson is the poster child for that lack of courage. And we need a check on the executive branch now more than ever, and serving this country and trying to be one of 23 Democrats who flipped the House became my mission. And I've got to tell you, it's the most joyful journey on which I've ever been.
Now, I remember early on in your campaign, you had done where you set up ice houses across lakes where people were ice fishing, and you had conversations in there. And now I know you have your vehicle that you have coffee and conversations. Why don't you tell me about some of the experiences you've had with those?
Sure, Hunter. One of the great joys of campaigning is conversations with people, and that is the ethos of my campaign. In fact, our slogan is everyone's invited, and I want to come meet people where they are, and that's why we had the ice shack on the lake, and I've got my 1960 government repair truck that I drive around the district and serve coffee and lemonade and have conversations with people. We've got a pontoon boat now, and I just came from the state fair where we have a wonderful booth and spent hours with fairgoers from the 3rd District and having great conversations. And I do so not just with Democrats. I do so with anybody who is willing to share a conversation, have some dialogue about the issues important to them. And that's what my campaign's about. It's about bringing people back to the table, sharing perspectives. You know, we may not always agree, but we should at least agree to talk. And that's what makes this such a wonderful pursuit.
Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find your booth at the fair? What's it nearby in the fair?
Sure. So our booth is actually right around the corner from the DFL booth. We're on Cooper, right before the corner of Wright Street, or Wright Avenue, I should say. And I think we're the only booth from any congressional campaign or elected in the entire state. So we're easy to find, and I'll be there quite a bit over the next week or so. And can't wait to have conversations with whoever happens to be around.
Now, a positive memory I have from months ago, earlier on in the campaign, before the CD3 DFL convention, was you were running against Adam Jennings for the endorsement. And I remember after you received the endorsement that Adam Jennings became one of your most vocal supporters and got behind you and was appearing at public events wearing your T-shirt and that. And I thought that really looked well on both of you. One, that he was willing to become such a vocal supporter and that he would want to get behind you after you guys having been campaigning against each other.
Indeed. Yeah, that's the hallmark of all of us who ran for that endorsement. We are all on the same team. Adam has been wonderful. Everybody else who ran has been equally wonderful, and we recognize that if we're going to accomplish what hasn't been done since 1958, the last time a Democrat won the seat here in the 3rd District, that it's going to take all of us working together. And I've been thrilled with that support, and you know, now our responsibility is to expand that amongst independents and ensure that Democrats get out and vote, and also extend invitations to moderate Republicans who increasingly recognize the need to assess alternatives, and those who are fiscally responsible but socially inclusive and independent-minded. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to come back together and inspire the change that I know we need.
Now, I'm a part of Indivisible Chaska, and I know that for a long time, our Indivisible groups have been banding together in replacing Eric Paulson, and they have gotten behind your campaign very enthusiastically. Why don't you talk about your experiences with Indivisible?
Well, I celebrate everybody who is participating in the Indivisible movement. It has paved the path to opening the doors of activism to people who, many people who have never been engaged before. And it's a hallmark of these times. And I think the reason that change is coming, people who have taken our circumstances for granted, have recognized that we all have a responsibility to participate. And I'm just one of those people, one of millions around the country who has said that we have got to do something. And my participation is a run for Congress, but every single person who is doing something to affect change is playing a role in making it happen. And Indivisible has been an extraordinary organization to pave that path. And of course, as you know, it's not just Democrats. It's independents and thoughtful Republicans and others who recognize that this administration, the lack of character in the White House, and the lack of a Congress with any courage is something that we have got to address and have to do so together. So I welcome those endorsements from Indivisible, and also celebrate everybody who's playing a role in getting this wonderful work done.
We're speaking with Dean Phillips, the DFL-endorsed candidate for Congress for Congressional District 3. Now, Dean, you have kind of a specific health care plan. Why don't you go into that and explain it a bit and go into some of the specifics?
Sure. Well, I believe that it's time that our country makes the moral decision to ensure that everybody has health care when they need it, no matter one's age or income or geography or condition. Those are the principles and values that most of the people with whom I talk share. And I talk to too many people, Hunter, who are an illness away from bankruptcy, who can barely afford their insurance premiums, who pay thousands of dollars a month for either medication or for care for a loved one. And that's just not, that is incongruent with the principles and values of the people that I speak with. And so the first thing I will do, should I have the honor of serving in Congress, is to immediately address the gaps in the ACA, ensure that our insurance markets are stable with reinsurance, and ensure that this plan and program works as well as it possibly can. That's a beginning. And then I'm a proponent of expanding Medicare as a buy-in option for everybody in this country. I'm a small business owner, and I know, like any small business owner, how difficult the current insurance environment is. And imagine a plan like Medicare that is easy to understand, available to everybody, affordable, and especially for people who are now buying on the individual market, would have as an alternative to private or nonprofit insurance plans. It would strengthen Medicare because people are buying into it. And if Medicare becomes stronger, the leverage to now negotiate pharmaceutical pricing would save tens of billions of dollars a year for all taxpayers in this country. And eventually, we have to turn our attention to the care delivery model. So my plan dictates and mandates that we change our incentive system to go away from rewarding procedures and hospitalizations and instead make investments in keeping people healthy, so invest in prevention. Once we make that change, we will lower the cost of care in this country. We will make care available to everybody and do so in a manner that I think both sides of the aisle could actually get behind. And I'm a proponent of a notion called Medicare Extra that has been introduced by the Center for American Progress. I think that's the most sensible and most importantly, achievable ways to ensure that everybody in this country has health care when they need it, and that we're not the only developed nation in the entire world that hasn't made the decision to do so.
Now, if elected, what would be your first plan of action when you got into Congress?
Well, my first, I believe, as you might know, Hunter, that campaign finance reform is the hallmark of my candidacy. And I say so because I believe it is foundational to address if we hope to achieve anything that's important to us. And when I say us, I mean everybody. Any issue that may be your number one, I hope that number two becomes campaign finance reform, because the money in politics is creating dysfunction, discord, and the inability to get things done. And that's why I want to start with that. I want to expose the truth, which is a very unfortunate and very corrupting truth about how this system operates. And I want to elevate ideas and solutions so that we can return power to people. And right now, special interests own too many members of Congress. Eric Paulson has been bought and sold. He's the sixth largest taker of PAC super special interest money in the entire U.S. Congress of 435 people. And you cannot make principled, independent decisions on behalf of your constituents when you are the recipient of so much money from interests that are doing everything they can to ensure that the status quo exists, even though we want change. So that would be my first priority, because if we can change that, then we can start taking on the tasks that are in front of us relative to healthcare and education and the environment and human rights. The issues that right now are just caught in the dysfunction of a Congress that's not getting its work done. And I intend to be the biggest advocate for change and the most vocal member of Congress for removing the influence of affluence.
I love that answer, and you're totally walking the walk on that stance. Why don't you talk about how you've raised money for your campaign?
I am, Hunter, and I thank you for bringing that up. I'm the only candidate that we're aware of in the entire country that refuses all PAC money, all special interest money, all money from federal lobbyists, and all money from current members of Congress, because they also use money to influence votes, whether it be for leadership positions or legislation. And I think we need to migrate to a system that creates a level playing field for any candidate and, frankly, inspires candidates to participate. So too many people who have great ideas and wonderful aspirations forego runs for public office because they realize the money is so suffocating. And I want to run the most principled campaign that this nation has known in many, many years. And if the 3rd District embraces that and sends me to Congress to represent it, I believe we can start affecting change, and this one voice can become a chorus. And that's why the support of 54,000 people so far, individuals, have made this possible, because I'm still powering up the campaign only with people, and my contribution has been $5,400 and the use of my office and campaign truck and my pontoon boat. And I think we can do this better, and that's why I've challenged Eric Paulson to run our race in the Minnesota way, which would get rid of all the PAC and special interest money, all self-funding, and also remove the outside spending, which will probably be over $20 million alone spent in our race in just the coming 80 days or so. And we have got to do better, and I'm walking the talk, and encourage anybody who might be interested to come along. We've got a lot of room on this bus.
Now, why don't you tell people how they can get involved? Our station is located in CD3, and our signals reaches almost the entirety of CD3, so I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love to be involved with your campaign.
Well, thank you, Hunter. The best way to become engaged is to begin following us on Facebook and go to our website. You can sign up to become a volunteer and support this effort. Or you can pop by our campaign office. We call it the Conversation Cottage. It's at 478 2nd Street, right in the heart of downtown Excelsior. And we are open 7 days a week. We have a wonderful staff and volunteers that are always there if you want a sign or a T-shirt or magnets or want to get involved in phone banking or door knocking or spending time with our wonderful family of volunteers. We have over 1,000 people active every day doing the wonderful work of this campaign. And I invite everybody, whoever's listening, friends, family, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody in between, to come along. And that's why my slogan is everyone's invited.
Now, before we go, I just want to tell you a story. I know that you have an interest in antique liquor bottles, and
yes.
My house is recognized by the Chaska Historical Society because it was once the Last Chance Saloon, and Jesse James used to visit the saloon. So when they closed the saloon, they threw all of the stuff in the backyard and lit it on fire. So we've dug up parts of the backyard and have found a ton of these old 1800s liquor bottles. So I have them at my house, and I know you have a collection of those too. So I thought you might be interested in that.
Oh, Hunter, yeah, we've got to get together, my friend. I've spent one of my hobbies amongst many has been going on digs to archaeological digs and finding some of those treasures that lay in the ground, and it tells wonderful stories about our area's history. So I would love to share that sometime.
Yeah, maybe if you want to come to one of our Chaska Indivisible meetings before the election, we could arrange that.
Well, let's absolutely do that. I love those invitations, and if you just let me know when, I'll do my very best to be there and look forward to seeing you soon.
Awesome. Well, thanks for speaking with us today, Dean.
Thank you, Hunter. I'm grateful for the opportunity, and so grateful to everybody who's participating in ensuring that change comes on November 6th.
Awesome. Dean Phillips is running for Congress in CD3. That is the district our station is in, and the district I live in. He's running against Eric Paulson. And when we come back, we will be speaking with Matt Chrisman of Chapo Trap House. They have a new book, Chapo Guide to Revolution, a manifesto against logic, facts, and reason. So we'll be right back.